This is MuggleCast, episode lucky number 7 for September 18th, 2005. If you haven't finished reading book 6 yet, then you probably should not listen to this podcast as we do talk about several different spoilers.
Hey everybody, welcome back to this week's show. I am your host, Ben Shane.
I'm Andrew Seams.
I'm Eric Skull.
And joining us this week from the Leaky Cauldron is Melissa Nelly, the head webmaster lady, Chicky, over there.
Hello.
And John Noe. He doesn't know much. Yeah.
Hey, you guys got your own podcast, Lay of Ours.
This is a regular podcast.
We've been invaded. We've been invaded this week.
We're invading into your
podcast. No, actually.
This is why we do it. Yeah. This is why we did it, so that we can get onto MuggleCast.
This is a hostile
definitely,
table.
Because if we check the iTunes music store, who's
don't
trumping?
Do that.
Let's do that, shall we?
Who's trumping who? Oh. Let me see here.
No, but the real reason, they're on is because we just taped the special edition 5 minutes ago.
No, that's a lie. It's a lie. This is like 2 days later.
That's a lie. We can't tell them that we did that, though.
When we did the special edition, Ben wasn't on it, and I couldn't get through a week without having a nice chat with Ben,
okay,
so I had to make sure.
Well, in light of all that, let's go to Micah for this week's news.
Thanks, Ben. Let's see. Do we have any news here? Portuguese book release, October 16th. The trailer. What? The trailer. Oh yeah, the second Goblet of Fire movie trailer was released on Thursday. You can head over to AOL Movie Phone, who now has a high-resolution full-screen preview, or download it from MuggleNet.com. We also have the Good Morning TV aired Goblet of Fire trailer now available. As previously mentioned, the new trailer will make its debut with Corpse Bride in all theaters on September 23rd. Speaking of Goblet of Fire, Patrick Doyle has finished recording the score for the fourth Harry Potter film, the final pieces having been done in conjunction with the London Symphony Orchestra. You can head over to MuggleNet for all videos, pictures, and the latest trailer news. You can also listen to or read the brand new MuggleCast Pottercast second special edition podcast, where the crew analyzes the new trailer in detail. And in other news, keeping you posted on a topic reported last week, on Monday, JKR updated the news section of her site to talk about the ongoing situation with eBay. She said, "eBay has responded to this news item in the press. On the one hand, they have said that they rely on consumers to police their site. On the other, a spokesman called Hani Dersey says that it is the responsibility of the copyright owner to report any listings that violates their rights." She responded by saying eBay might be interested to learn that most Harry Potter fans are children whose ability to verify the authenticity of signatures is not to be entirely trusted. We have previously reminded visitors not to purchase off of eBay. The crew talks about this in the upcoming episode. That's all the news from our news center in New York for the September 18th, 2005 edition of MuggleCast. Back to you guys.
Okay, thanks, Micah, for that wonderful insight on this past week's news. Well, one of the topics you may have heard him bring up, probably the most, like, the major topic of the past week was the Goblet of Fire trailer that was released, and I know you guys covered your special edition,
hey,
but in case all those leaky haters out there decided not to listen to it, I guess we'll cover it again for MuggleCast. So, guys,
briefly.
I saw the trailer like everyone else. Anybody who's anybody saw the trailer, and I don't know why I said that, but we'll keep going. I thought it was actually pretty decent, and I don't know, I just liked it when Dumbledore did the Harry Potter part, you know, and
he's such a feisty Dumbledore this time.
Yeah,
around.
We really talked about him. We need a subtle kind of Dumbledore for, especially for Order of the Phoenix, when he sits Harry down and tells him all that crap about it. His past. He can't be like, "When you were young, I thought that I shouldn't tell you, but I was wrong, Harry." You know.
Okay, and do you guys have any idea what's up with that part with Sirius's face in the fire and like the snake coming out of the wall?
Yeah,
that's from the beginning.
The snake coming out of the wall is at the Riddle House,
right.
And that is Barty Crouch.
Everyone knows that.
But
Frank Price's perspective.
There are demons in the walls.
What's the fireplace? Why is he talking to the fireplace? And then
exactly.
The snake coming out of the wall.
Well, it's not out of the wall.
These are different scenes. Okay. Oh well, that was terrible. I don't know. I didn't like it. I thought I was kind of confused by it, and I was upset.
I think he melted.
Okay.
Okay. Well, we don't need to go into the trial again.
Let's
just
not get into this.
Yeah. The special edition.
That's obvious.
Okay.
Probably not.
Even I knew that.
But it's podcasting. We could do whatever we want.
Okay, well, before we move on to our next news item thingamajigger, I have a top 13 list that I'd like to read to you guys, which I thought was kind of humorous. Maybe we'll, like, make our own little section out of, you know, kind of like David Letterman has the top 10. We'll have our top 13, and we'll have, like, people come on and read it and stuff. And I don't know, that maybe end up being a lame idea, but
go
this
on,
list
Ben.
Sounds pretty cool. Okay, the top 13 reasons you know you listen to MuggleCast when... This was submitted to us by Hannah, from age 16 years, from California.
Thanks, Hannah.
Number 13, you have quotes in your locker that say things like, Potter Army, or just speculation, guys. Number 12, you wish you were in the front row of Mr. Nelson's class. Number 11, you laugh whenever someone says, yeah, man, I can, because it reminds you of Jamie. That's a good one. 10, your siblings give you weird looks when you listen to your iPod because they don't understand how Harry Potter discussions can be funny or why you would listen to them in the first place. Number 9, you know there is no such thing as overanalyzing. Number 8, you'd rather meet Ben, Andrew, Kevin, Eric, and Jamie than J.K. Rowling herself.
Aww.
7. Aww. You've fallen in love with Ben, Andrew,
I thought they were
going to
say that Emerson.
Eric, and Jamie's voices.
That's cute.
Yeah. Number 6. You talk about...
Hey, I got that one.
...if you were really in the conversation.
That's on my list.
Number 5.
I was talking to Ben the other day, and he said
number
he completely
five,
agreed with
you
me.
You stare at Ben, Andrew, Eric, Kevin, and Jamie's picture on the About Us page, and what would they look like in real life?
Whoa, I'm glad I just updated that.
What?
Yeah.
That
I don't
one
know.
Doesn't count.
Well, like, doesn't guess, that like, show you what they look like in real life? Isn't that
number
sort of the point
four,
of the
number
pictures?
Four, this is my favorite on the list. You're an Emerson and Melissa shipper.
You don't have to listen to MuggleCast.
We've
beaten
that, so... Okay, forget what I just said.
Anyway, number 3. You check to see who posted what
they're
on
so
MuggleNet's
cute.
Main page because you know these people now.
Aww.
Number
that's
2.
Really cool.
You've heard Jamie's British joke of the day, which, by the way, in his absence this week,
that's cute.
He's probably off studying for exams or something. Man, yeah, man. Well, in his absence this week, next week we're going to have 2 British jokes of the day. Like, I have a double serving there. So, yeah, stay tuned.
Oh, man.
Stay tuned, people. And the number one reason you
too
know
much,
you
can't take
to
it.
The cast. Drum roll, please. You think of Ben, Andrew, Kevin, and Eric. Oh, Eric, Jamie. Dang it, I messed that up really bad. You think of Ben, Andrew, Kevin, Eric, and Jamie as your friends. So, yeah, I thought that list was pretty creative. And it was really
I love
your
name again.
This is Hannah.
That's great.
Thank you, Hannah, for sending that in.
We love you, Hannah.
I love you.
Hannah, that's really cool.
I'm touched. Okay.
John, where's your list?
Moving on.
Oh, I could think of a list.
Okay, so...
I can think of many lists.
Okay, something else I want to talk about, guys, is like the whole J.K. Rowling eBay war that's going on. You know.
Wait. First, I have 2 announcements.
Jeez. Okay. Andrew's suffering from a cold, so please
pardon
his
nasally number one.
Noise.
I'm ill. If anyone would like to send me tissues and or money for tissues, because I'm running through
dude, a box
every
hour.
Dude,
you're going to get like 100 boxes of tissues. You're actually going to get
all,
FedEx tissues.
We have to admit a mistake. We made a mistake.
Oh, come
actually,
on. Not, no, not, the,
de-
not the Defense Against the Dark Arts.
Yeah,
thing.
Yes. We made
come
a
on.
Big mistake.
Slughorn.
Is
got,
not the Defense Against the Dark Arts teacher. We've got about 65 million bazillion emails saying,
yeah,
hey, you
okay.
guys are wrong. Slughorn
all right, I'm
going to
go all out. All right,
professor.
That was my fault. It fit in context. You know, we all kind of knew that he was experienced in those areas, even though he was the potion teacher. So it fit,
right.
But I'm sorry if I, you know, I do know what I'm talking about most of the time. So
also, we had another complaint,
which
was where was Spy on Sports last week?
Well,
we actually did
honesty,
record it. Hey, I'm talking.
Ooh, get off my show.
We called Dylan. We actually did a Spy on Sports last week. We did it over the phone because Emerson wasn't online. So we tried calling and then the audio file that we recorded got all messed up. So
we did
all
have
we do
it,
that right now. Ben,
speaking of
do the honors.
Speaking of Spy on Sports.
Are we calling him?
Yeah, let's call him.
Speaking of Spy on Sparts, let's see. Emerson is online right now.
Ask him what he's doing.
Yeah, I'll ask him what he's doing.
What's his screen name again? ASims89?
Yeah, that's it.
Should be interesting to see how he is.
Oh, poor Andrew.
He's getting all nervous.
Why am I getting nervous again?
Because we're talking to Emerson and it just gets you.
Melissa's knees are starting to wobble right now.
Yeah. She's sitting down, so that shouldn't matter much.
Yeah, exactly.
So while we wait an hour for Emerson's
response, my voice gets shaky.
Move on to the first topic.
Hold on. We got a response from Emerson. Ooh, Emerson, apparently he's studying and he's partying at the same time. He's party studying. Study partying.
Studying party.
What did he exactly say?
I think that's a really cool kid study.
Is he studying how to party?
He's studying something.
Oh.
Yeah,
I don't want to know.
Emerson's been having a bit of trouble with calculus, so if anybody wants to stop by, tutor him.
Tutor Emerson. That's what we're going
to
do.
Go to Notre Dame, you know, just, you know, to look for him. He's probably having dinner at South or North around 5:30 p.m. each evening.
And then cereal right afterwards.
Yeah, then cereal. Yeah, so I think that concludes
this week's
edition of Spy on Sports.
We'll see you next week.
Andrew, go.
Okay, Ben, hit us with the main topic.
Okay, well, since you guys pretty much covered the trailer, and if you want to hear more about that, just make your way over to the special edition of...
X2.
What do you guys call it? Muggle Leaky Potter.
Muggle Leaky Potter Cast X2.
Nerd Serum.
Yeah, so.
Something.
What did we call it? Something. Muggle Morphe.
So
something.
If you want to hear more about that, go ahead and download it. But otherwise, the main topic for this week looks like it's going to be. Some of you might be bored by this, but I think it's actually quite interesting. We'll delve into it more. But it's the latest on the eBay and J.K. Rowling dispute. eBay has responded to the post that J.K. Rowling made on her official website, which warned Potter fans of the fake signed copies of the books. She said for about every one real, authentic signed copy, there are 6 to 10 fakes. And so, yeah, eBay pretty much just thinks this is a slap in the face and that J.K. Rowling is pretty much laying down the law. Well, you guys are knowledgeable Harry Potterites. What do you think?
Except for John.
I don't really know what's going on.
What about you, Andrew?
Well,
what
basically,
do you think?
Okay. I don't know what to think. I almost hope this goes on for a little bit longer. Like a little dispute between J.K.R. and eBay. Although I think J.K. Rowling's a little bit more mature to not go back and forth with them about this.
Well, what I think she's really upset about is that, you know, eBay sold the Dumbledore toast without her permission, and then it was just...
No, I think it was
all
downhill from there.
Yeah, J.K.R. is more concerned about the fans, I think, than she is about eBay. I don't think she really hates eBay, and I don't think she was going against them. She's just warning fans that that's a medium that people are particularly fond of to rip people off.
Well,
and it does sound like she has tried every avenue she can. I mean, her signature, everybody keeps telling us she should just Vero her signature. Her signature is Vero'd, but the problem is that for somebody who has as many fakes online as she does, she would need to hire somebody full-time to report the criminal activity of others about her signature to take advantage of the Vero service. It's not right. She shouldn't have to.
In a way, this is eBay's fault, though, because... They do have security measures in place to prevent fraudulent items appearing on eBay. And I guess they have no real way of telling if it's fake or not. But there are context clues in the listings. Like, based on feedback.
Well,
like, if someone with
abuse.
One positive feedback has a posting that says, "Hi, here's my signed J.K. Rowling book. Free shipping." And that's
Yeah, you don't send it.
I think that's what most of them are, right?
Wait, well, like, yeah, a couple of them are Cub Reporter's books, actually.
Well, that
from
I
the
could
Edinburgh
say.
Thing.
But didn't she sign mostly like bookmarks or something there?
Yeah, there were the tickets looked like bookmarks.
Guys, I kind of fell out of the loop.
Okay,
what does Vero mean? I'm sorry.
It's their. You can verify your signature.
Oh.
And then that's a way that you can then quickly report. An item as fraudulent.
Oh, I see.
But the point is that you have to report it. It's not preventative. It has to exist on the site first, and then you have to report it. And they've tried this many times. Her whole team has over
okay,
you know,
see.
However
so,
long.
Why
they've
do you have to
this.
Use a fancy word to describe it? Trying to put
yourself
above the Muggle
the word.
The
They're
Muggle
not
going to
call it.
Are you trying to put yourself above the Muggle casters by using
Ben?
Big
you're
words?
Just upset because she wouldn't go out with you.
Ben, you're being mean
that
to me.
You're just upset that she wouldn't go out with you. She was out with John.
Oh, be quiet. Don't even.
Well, no, kind of along the same lines as eBay bought out Skype now. So do you think people will be able to...
For like $8 billion.
Yeah, so do you think that they could now like talk to other eBay people now? That we could talk to the people who were the sellers
and
the bidders?
Well, that's the purpose of eBay buying Skype. eBay bought Skype to improve their
communication
between seller and buyers. In a way, I think that's great. It's an easy way for people to do it.
So out of curiosity, if we slam eBay, could they get us thrown off Skype? Could they like ban our names?
I think they're listening to us right now.
Probably not.
I don't know. We said probably not, and then we turned up an Apple, so go figure.
I know what's going on. Okay, eBay is having this whole Potter dispute, and they heard about MuggleCast and PotterCast and the joint podcast, and they said, I'm going to buy it, and I'm just going to close them down. I don't know.
That makes no sense.
That's my theory. That is my theory.
And then we all switch to Gizmo.
It's a great plan, and then we're going to go to Google.
Google Talk.
Well, problem with Google Talk is that it's only one-on-one.
No Mac.
No conferencing either.
Yeah, no conference.
Okay, last time anyway. This wasn't This Week in Tech, so back to Harry Potter news.
this is... Yeah, never mind.
Okay, so...
So who's at fault here? Is it eBay?
It's nobody's fault.
Or should J.K. Rowling be worrying about
this? They pulled it up and she said, hey, look, you're being frauded and just watch out. You know, I don't think it's... There's no right or wrong. You know, eBay took it personally and go, Melissa.
Well, how about we like lay some blame on the people who are making the fraudulent items?
Copies, yeah.
Yeah, it's their... If anybody's at fault here, it's them. You know, it's not eBay, it's not JKR, it's just the people who abuse this privilege.
But eBay now knows what's going on. You can't play ignorance anymore. You know what's going on. Do something to stop it. Now you know that that a large portion of your readers are, you know, being defrauded. Do something about it.
Right, but eBay is not the only medium of, like... getting these bootleg items that aren't even real signatures. I mean, last time I heard, Andrew was selling some out of his garage. So, yeah.
Then he moved to his backyard.
Andrew. Yeah. That reminds me. Let's talk after about that deal.
Yeah.
Oh, you mean the deal.
Okay. The part where you transpose Melissa into
some jewelry to unload.
I remember that.
Okay, I think that pretty much wraps up the whole eBay thingy.
Let's go to voicemails.
Now, voicemails. Before we go to voicemails, I'd like to just like tell you guys what's going on with this Potter Fans for Katrina. Melissa can help me out here. On the right navigation bar on MuggleNet, you can see, or also on Leaky Cauldron, you can see a PayPal donate button where you can donate money to Potter Fans for Katrina, because these people, as George W. Bush was just on TV giving a speech about how the city needs to be able to rebuild, and they won't be able to rebuild unless they have the money to do so and resources, which is why we are coming to you, and we're asking for you to open your hearts and to open your
very
wallets.
Very nicely put. Melissa? That was very nicely put, Ben. Open your hearts, open your wallets.
That was
beautiful.
It was
inspiring. Well, last time we checked in, we had about 5,000. Now we're up to about 6,000. The drive goes through September 20th, and we're looking for companies to match our donation. We have a couple of candidates, but if you think that you want your company to get involved, let us know. Potter for Katrina. That's Potter, F-O-R, Katrina at gmail.com. And the email and the response we've been getting from people in the area, from people who know people who are affected, it's been really touching. And so if you put the button on your site, we will put your name in a list of people who took part, and we'll just thank a lot of you for all time.
So yeah, so please do that if you haven't yet, because like I said, they need all the money they can get. Last count, like the overall donations have been about $500 million. But when you have several billion dollars in damage, that doesn't go very far. So we need as much money as we can get to go to this area to help
them
rebuild.
The city is literally broke. They can't make their payroll. So, you know, this is a serious – it's a situation that affects the entire country. It's not just Louisiana. So get on it, guys. Oh, and I want to thank – actually put out a public thank you to HPANA because of all the – I guess large, I don't know what the distinction is or where the line is, but of the really large Harry Potter sites, that's the only other one who put up a link and put up the button. And I'm not afraid to call everybody out on that.
Thank you, Jeff.
HPANA.com.
Yes.
HPANA.com.
Okay, they're broken record.
Thank you, Andrew.
yeah, there's really no reason to not put up the button because, you know, these this is people's lives we're talking about, so.
You know right. Why I like HBN so much? Because they're such a fair news site. Like, they'll post anything that's going on between other sites. Like, they plugged our MuggleCast and PotterCast. They plugged the Potter fans for Katrina. Look at that. They even have a big button and a PayPal button right there. Did anyone even ask them?
So, in short, Jeff Guillaume, we love you. He's the webmaster. He's the cheese guy over there.
I can't say his name.
Oh.
Can't pronounce that to save my life. But Jeff, cool guy.
Jeff. Okay, well, I think that pretty much covers the whole Katrina stuff. Yeah, so is there any other announcements anyone has?
Are we going to announce our marriage, Ben?
oh, jeez.
That was supposed to be secret, kind of like
Ben had
until you're legal.
Copies of Half-Blood Prince. Yeah.
Okay, there's bootleg copies I'm giving to local libraries.
That's even better.
Robin Hooding of Harry Potter.
Now, before we move on to anything else, I want to give you guys a sneak peek at the brand new Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire Lego sets due out in a few weeks. Here's my interview with one site that did get an early look. Okay, so we're joined by Joe Fulton of MillionairePlayboy.com, also known as Lando.Pimp.
That's right.
How you doing, Joe?
Hey, how you guys doing?
So we brought you on here today, or I brought you on here today, because you got a special sneak peek at the new Harry Potter Lego Goblet of Fire
That's
sets.
Right. Lego sent them to me a few weeks ago. I got to put them together. Took lots of pictures of them so that you can get some really good glimpses of how the sets are built. And you can check that out on MillionairePlayboy.com. On the front page there, underneath the features, you will see the links to the sets, as well as, I'm sure, when this podcast goes live, we'll have a link to that, as to MuggleNet and to all the sets, so you can check them out.
Awesome. So tell us a little bit about MillionairePlayboy.com. What do you guys do on the site?
Well, Millionaire Playboy is really an online magazine for collecting toys, comics, movies, assorted pop culture artifacts. We kind of cater to the swinging bachelor kind of feel. That's what the website is supposed to look like. And the name comes from, if you think about Bruce Wayne from Batman, he's the Millionaire Playboy, you know, except these days, you know, I think in the new movie they said he was Billionaire Playboy, so maybe we need to change your name.
Yeah. All right, and so you. All right, so the article you have online on the site MillionairePlayboy.com is an excellent article.
Oh, thank you.
So, yeah, it really is good. So, tell us about the Durmstrang ship.
Well, the Durmstrang ship, and when I wrote the review a few weeks ago, we hadn't seen the new trailer. And surprisingly enough, an hour before we're talking now, I got to see the new Harry Potter trailer, which has a good shot of it. And compared to the set, compared to the movie, it's dead on from what I can see. I mean, obviously, the color was a little off in the movie phone trailer, but it looked pretty good. You know, as you know, all the Harry Potters, I'm sure I don't have to go into the history and what the Durmstrang ship is, because you guys probably know more about it than I do. But it's a pretty decent set. There's lots of, like, little things, fun things that are about it. The main part of it is at the top is the cabin. Now, the cabin doesn't really open up unless you take it off of the ship, because if they made the cabin, you know, the size that you could open up and fit little minifigures in, the ship would be three times the size of that, and then the cost would be about three times the size of that. But inside, you can have it has like a little bat, book, goblets, maps, and all sorts of stuff, you know, fun things. But unfortunately, you have to take it off the ship to actually get into it. You know, underneath it, on the front of there is a you can have a little trap door where you can hide people. It's got a little walk the plank, and then it comes with two minifigures. It comes with Professor Karkoff, if I said that right, and then Victor Krum. And it's a nice set, with the exception that, you know, it doesn't have anything really Hogwarts related. It, you know, you get the Victor Krum minifigure, which is one of the Triwizard champions, but I would have loved to seen some kind of dock where that they, you know, the ship would have docked at with a welcoming Dumbledore, maybe, you know, another minifigure character as well.
Yeah. So would that be one of the weaknesses of the set? Not only maybe something else besides a dock, but that little cabin on the top that you have to detach in order to open up.
Well, let's take it this. It's you have to look at it two ways. You can either say, well, yeah, the cabin is it sucks to have to pull the cabin off to open it up and go into it, but do you want to pay the price for them to make a ship that it would actually, you know, you wouldn't have to do that? So that's the depending. And then the other thing is that, you know, if you're new to the Harry Potter Legos, this is not something you're going to want to get. For me, I have
really?
You know, yeah, well, I have lots of sets. Unless if you have never gotten a Harry Potter Lego set before, you're not going to be as interested in this one. Let me say it that way instead.
Just because it's not it doesn't have Harry.
It's
what you would expect from
Harry. Yeah, exactly. I mean,
okay.
For me, I have all the other Harry Potter, you know, sets. So this is just a nice welcome addition but you know, I always look at it when I write a review of this person has never collected a Harry Potter toy in their life. And so if you're going to buy this, if you're going to buy a new Goblet of Fire set, this isn't probably the one I would start with. But I mean, it's a great set. It has tons of pieces, and took me about 45 minutes to an hour to build. I'm also a very slow builder. I like to take my time with it too, so I'm sure somebody could build it a lot faster than that.
Yeah. So what's the price point?
The price point for this one is the most expensive one. This one I think is about $49. But you can probably find it cheaper in certain places. It's just depending on where you look.
Sure, yeah. Okay, so tell us about another set that... Now, are these sets released yet, the four new ones, or any of them? They're not out
they're
yet,
on
right?
I haven't seen them in stores. Lego sells them on the legoshop.com, which you can go and purchase. But I've yet to see them in stores. I was at Toys R Us a few days ago, and I didn't see them out yet. I would look for them soon, because originally I heard they weren't going to be around till October, but the fact that they're on legoshop.com means you should probably be seeing them soon.
So tell us about the other set, the next set,
Harry and the Horned Tail?
Harry versus... Right, precisely.
I'll say it for you instead. How about that?
Okay.
Well, you know, obviously this is the first task that Harry has to go through, and so... Lego tried to make it look like, and if as we've seen in the trailer, it's like in a little rock quarry almost like area. So they've created like these different walls that you can build, and you can actually set it up any way you want. It comes with, obviously, the horn-tailed dragon.
So was there anything you did like about this set?
Oh, yeah. I think this is probably my second favorite set out of the four, because there's only four sets with this movie this time. It's got some great action things. You can put Harry Potter's broom in a little catapult, and when you push down on it, it can go flying. Of course, obviously, you can't get it to fly into Harry's hands. It comes with the Mad-Eye Moody minifigure. If you look at the paint job that's done on the Goblet of Fire sets, the Lego really, really put in a lot of good details about this.
Yeah, the characters are very detailed.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and they've done details before, but I think they went out of their way this time to really, really give the character some good details and, you know, making it look like the actual character from the film.
Well, that's really good compared to, you know, these, you know, the regular yellow heads. So, so how much did this one cost?
This one is about $30, and it's, well, I mean, I think it's worth it. It's probably... If you're gonna get into a Goblet of Fire sets, I would definitely pick this one up as your second choice. With obviously the graveyard one, which we'll be talking about soon, as your first choice.
Okay. Now tell us about the graveyard scene. Let's hear about that one next.
You know, graveyard scene. Well, obviously the graveyard scene is the scene that everyone's waiting to see, because you know that's when Voldemort finally appears in his own body. Graveyard Duel comes with a great amount of things. First, it comes with a bunch of different cemetery plots, and you can seem to open every cemetery plot seems to open, so you can see a skeleton or some kind of coffin, or even comes with a couple different skeletons that you can just have them hang around the graveyard, I guess. It's also surrounded by a fence that you can put together, and you can either make the fence go around the graveyard or you can encase it into something. And then, of course, in the back, it's got some other grid details to make it look like a graveyard. It comes with a real spooky tree that's filled of owls and spiders, and then also like a caretaker's area so that where he has like his broom and shovel and everything else. But of course the biggest part of the set is the Tom Riddle grave. So when you open that up, it actually reveals three different snakes in there. And then you can also have the cauldron, which of course that's where Voldemort appears.
Now what about looking at these pictures, this doesn't look like a set that would take a while to build. How long did this one take you?
Actually, this one took a while.
Really?
It's somewhat complicated. The fence, if you look, I mean, it's got every little thing is made of ton of little pieces.
Oh, okay.
And the it took a while. I would probably say this is a good hour build, at least for me. I mean, I take my time with it. I mean, why rush putting together something? So the best thing about this set is it comes with, you know, all the different minifigures. It comes with Wormtail, it comes with Harry Potter, and of course Voldemort. And we also, so we kind of get a good look at Voldemort. And now that we've seen the new trailer, we kind of get an idea of kind of what he looks like. But the coolest minifigure is obviously the Death Eater. So when you take if you look at the Death Eater's head, it has the little mask on it. But if you turn it around and you take the cloak off, it obviously becomes Lucius Malfoy, which is pretty cool. I enjoy this set a lot, and if you're going to get a Goblet of Fire set, this is the one that you definitely have to get.
Okay, so everyone's next question is, how much does it cost?
This one is about $30.
Okay,
which is not too bad, specifically if you look at all the little things that you get. I'm thinking of actually even buying another set so that I can make it a larger graveyard and make the fence longer and combine that.
Oh,
of course, I'll have
a
whole bunch of extra minifigures, but you know, I always look into how I can make this set larger.
Yeah, plus you saying it's one of the best Harry Potter sets, and then only $30, that's definitely what I'd be interested in buying.
Well, yeah, I mean, if you look at if you look at how the Lego Potter sets have evolved from the first film to now, they just keep getting better and better.
All right, and last but not least, tell us about the Merpeople set.
The Merpeople set, yeah, this one's probably the one of my least favorites as well, only because...
So it is least.
Well, one of them. The Durmstrang ship is probably my least favorite, but there's reasons why this one is not one of my favorites. But the Merpeople set... is the smallest of the four.
Yeah, I was just going to say this set does not look very large or very detailed.
No, it really isn't. It was kind of a disappointment that they did this one and they left out the final task, which is the maze. I would have rather have seen that one, I think.
That would have been an interesting build.
Yeah, probably too expensive to build too is why we don't see it. But this set, you know, it has, very blue and green colors to make it have this look of being underwater, because obviously that's where the task takes place. It's got some interesting minifigures if you look. If you look at Harry, the details, they give him the gills, and of course little Lego flippers. And I said in my review that I was not sure whether or not this is the first time Lego has produced Lego flippers for little minifigures, and of course I got a ton of emails the next day telling me I didn't know what I was talking about. So obviously it's not. But if you look at the minifigures that it comes with Ron and Hermione, and it comes with one of the Merpeople. And that's it. And I was a little disappointed because in the scene, you know, I already have a Ron and Hermione figure. I don't need any more.
And not only that, but I remember you saying in your review that Ron and Hermione look exactly the same.
Well,
except
if
for the
you
hair.
Look at the pretty much, yeah. I mean, and the faces are a little bit different on these two, but if you look at the outfits are exactly the same. So the bodies are exactly the same, and it's just different head and different hairstyle, which is what they usually do. So that I found to be a bit disappointment because they went in all their way. You know, Lego went out of their way to make some of these really well detailed and designed. Then, of course, it also comes with another Victor Krum figure, which I already have one from the Durmstrang ship. Of course, this one has a shark head that is removable, but the biggest disappointment out of all four of these now that you look at them all is there is no Cedric or Fleur little minifigures. Now, the main story
that's upsetting.
The movie, the main story is you know, the Triwizard Tournament, and you get two Victor Crumbs, you get three different Harrys in these sets, but no Cedric or Floor, so you can't even reenact the scenes if you wanted to.
That's not good.
So I found that a little bit disappointing, and you know, maybe we may see more sets from LEGO.
Yeah, that was going to be my next question.
Doubtful, but I doubt it. We'll see it, but you never know. But I think overall LEGO did a very good job on them.
Now, did we mention the price about the Mer people?
Mer people was about $20.
Okay, so it's smallest and the cheapest. All right, so Joe Fulton from MillionairePlayboy.com, aka Lando the Pimp. Thanks for joining us this week. And if there are any more LEGO sets or whatever, you'll be getting a call from us.
No problem.
Oh, okay. By the way, guys, if you're on the MuggleCast blog and you need to, if you're not sure to subscribe to iTunes, you can click the free iPod book to download from iLounge.com.
Dude, not a cast goes by where we don't plug this book.
No, but it's a really good book.
No, it is. Definitely it is a great
not.
Book.
It's just a really good book. We're trying to help the fans because we're still working on our own personal iTunes tutorial. And in the meantime, we want to help the fans have their own, you know, their own way to do it. And you just download this book from iLounge. You can get the link. Click on the link from our downloading blog.
That's really good of you guys. That's a very selfless service you're providing.
Well, listen, we care about the visitors.
I think we ought to take a page out of your book. Just how selfless and how generous you are to provide links to things like that.
Oh, by the way, also, you can, we've added, the blog has also been updated, has word counts, so when we make fun of Eric for talking the most in the shows...
It actually happened, except for episode 5, Jamie pulled ahead of me. I was so happy.
Jamie did pull ahead of him.
And I don't think I did, no, it's my turn to do episode 6, so that's why that's...
Shut up, Eric. Eric, what are you talking about? what are you talking
about,
Eric?
I think it's Eric's turn. Eric, didn't you have something to say?
Eric, you're next. Yeah. Okay, so I think that's enough announcements and confabulation.
Let's just get to voicemails, guys. Voicemails.
Okay, so, Andrew, roll the voicemails.
Hello, I'm Clarissa from California, and I'm 17 years old. I really enjoy listening to MuggleCast. My question is, do you think the potions book that Harry hid in the Room of Requirement will be useful and important to him in the future? If so, how? Thank you.
The question was, does that book that Harry stuck in the Room of Requirement have any significance in Book 7?
Well, I think so. It's Snape's book.
Well, I'm really thinking not. I mean, there are far too many loose ends for it all to come back to the Half-Blood Prince potions book that he put in the Room of Requirement.
Well, I think it's fairly big.
You're totally wrong. You're totally wrong. This is what it is. She makes this big point to describe forgotten room. So, how can there not be one of the Horcruxes in this room?
Well, no, there's a cabinet in there. There's I think there might be. There's a cabinet that's described like the vanishing cabinet in that room.
Horcruxes.
Yeah, there's all kinds of stuff in there. There's a perfect spot to put one of the Horcruxes.
Horcruxes?
No, it's not. It's in the book. It's in the book as Horcruxes.
For plural.
Horcruxes is in the book.
Horcrux.
That's
no, that's her mistake. She's going to correct that.
She named a chapter, It's Horcruxes, people.
When they publish the next version, she's going to correct that.
No, the next book, Harry Potter and the Horcruxes.
Horcrux, you mean?
Anyway.
No, it's creepy.
I think that room is hugely important. I don't know about the book, but the room.
Yeah, I agree the room is, but I don't, that's how the Death Eaters got into the castle in this book, was through the Room Requirement. So, I really do think the actual room itself is important, but I don't know what significance the book will hold, because, you know,
the book has so many good spells in there.
But that doesn't matter, though, because we look back to book 6, and that's what the entire book was basically about, was Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince. Who was the Half-Blood Prince? Snape?
It wasn't about that, though. Ben, that's my problem with Half-Blood Prince. My only really problem with Half-Blood Prince was that Snape wasn't in it. I mean, the book's titled after him, and there we saw one of his lessons and things. I mean,
yeah,
I think one of the things was it was like a plot device where we're supposed to, you know, decide the whole book we're supposed to decide, you know, what we think of Snape and stuff, but he wasn't really in it much.
But look at the other books.
And that's
look at
a
the
shame
other
because
books. Sorcerer's Stone, yes, it's about finding the Sorcerer's Stone, but it's finding a about it's finding a it's about a lot more. Chamber of Secrets, it's about you get to the Chamber of Secrets at the end. Yes, but it's about you know, Tom Riddle's history or whatever,
well, right.
Prisoner of Azkaban. The things that are in the title don't always set the course for the entire
right.
book.
Well, but they are rather
does,
mainstream.
Though, because,
you know,
for example, look at Goblet of Fire. Like, it's like the center of the entire book.
Cup.
You know, they have this goblet that spouted out Harry's
I think
it's, name.
It should have been the Triwizard Tournament. Then.
Dramatic twist.
Yeah, well, it was going to be, wasn't
know.
It? Doomspell tournament
or
whatever? Yeah, so that was rather, you know... But, no, I'm saying the Half-Blood Prince is less mainstream than I think the other ones were.
I agree with that. But think...
I don't know.
But we're down to... I mean, artifacts now are tremendously important to the rest of the series, right? These Horcruxes.
Yeah.
They're important.
Horcruxes.
Have you guys been getting emails? We've been getting a couple of emails that it says on the Harry Potter site that Filch knows the location of every last artifact at Hogwarts or something.
Who says that?
On HarryPotter.com.
I believe that.
And so people are wondering if that's going to be important.
Put a memory spell on Filch.
Why can't Harry just go into the room requirement and be like, room, I require you all the Horcrux.
Because they might not be at Hogwarts.
And then he takes a hammer and goes,
because
boom,
it'll
boom,
say,
boom,
I'm sorry, I do not recognize the term Horcrux.
Yeah.
An error of type 6024 has occurred.
Please re-enter.
Yeah.
Please try again.
You walk
computer.
In there.
I'm sorry.
Don't save the muggles.
Save the muggles.
Computer, please locate all Horcrux.
Yeah, computer, find them. Yeah. I need all of the
other things. There's one thing that I really want to talk about with you guys is the Felix Felicis.
Felix
like
Felicis.
The potion, the luck, the good luck potion.
Felix Felicis.
What would you guys think it might play in?
We've gotten so many emails and voicemails on this one, and yet we haven't played them because I guess we just haven't felt like it.
Yeah, but
I think it's a pretty serious topic.
Yeah.
Because
they perhaps saved the lives of the trio and other Hogwarts students, the people
the
that
DA,
took it at the
DA
end
DA
of...
Yeah.
The DAers at the end of book 6.
Yeah, and that's all
you think
crap.
Why, John? Why?
That's what I said. Here's is what I said. They substitute continuing the DA, actually learning how to do the stuff. And let's make a potion.
But,
that'll
you
make
know,
it
I agree.
If they
but
use that
you
again,
know,
that's a major
I agree with
stuff.
John.
Yeah.
But,
they couldn't have done half that stuff
without
knowing it beforehand, and they wouldn't
luck
only gets you so far. That's one of the points. And if you take Felix Felicis too much, you become reckless. You make mistakes. It's not a perfect potion.
It's like a drug. It's like a drug.
What are you talking about? The stuff that they knew how to do. I mean, like they describe one of them jumping up and down, bouncing around, dodging the curses.
Ginny said that the spells seemed to bounce off them, but that doesn't mean that they
like
actually did bounce off them.
Well, Ginny gets around.
Yeah. And it doesn't mean that she's throwing them back at him or throwing back any spells of her own. It just means she's doing a dance.
It could mean that she's
one of the things... I think J.K. is aware of it, which was great because in Book 5 at the DA, where Zachariah Smith or some smartass says to him, you know, we can't... these spells are stupid, and how are we supposed to, you know, defend ourselves with these stupid little, you know, first-year spells? And, you know, I forget the exact line, but Harry says, you know, it saved my life.
Yeah,
which was cool.
Expelliarmus.
So it's showing that, you know, you can you can hold up a pretty good fight with, you know, not you don't need to use the unforgivable curses to put up a decent fight. And yeah, Felix Felicis kind of got. I mean, Harry, I don't think is prepared to even almost touch the magic of the Horcruxes, and you know he didn't even know anything about what Dumbledore was doing in those weird languages in the books.
Well, no. For God's sake, the dude couldn't even dry off his cloak after he jumped
in
the water on his own. And now he's going to go chase the Horcrux.
Yeah, that's
the
pretty... I mean, if Dumbledore lost his hand to that... So, yeah, I mean...
Who couldn't dry himself... You're talking about Harry couldn't dry himself off?
Yeah, after they dove in the water and Dumbledore's like, oh, God, my bad, I'm sorry, I'll dry you off here, you little baby.
Well, no, so I think, to an extent, they're not nearly as prepared as they should be, but they've held themselves off pretty well so far, so.
No, it's far too underprepared.
You see, because whenever, like, I said this, like, I don't know, one episode earlier, like, whenever Voldemort, like, tries to fix something, he always makes some other mistake, you know? Yeah, and, like, this, like, He never expected Harry to like be able to stop him with the Expelliarmus, you know. And so next time he tries to like kill Harry, I have a feeling it'll be something else. Like in the final showdown, it'll be something else that he doesn't see.
You know what?
We all know Harry has to win, but I think it'd be like the ultimate plot twist if Voldemort won and like doomed the Wizarding World. That would just be so sweet.
There's a very important question I have to ask you, all you guys.
Yeah.
Yes.
What do you think now? One of the ways I guess Voldemort would be cool is if once he were mortal again, if he actually lost his magical power and were like a common Muggle, that would probably kill him.
Made to live as a Muggle.
But my question is, the prophecy and JKR's emphasis on how it only has to happen because they want it to have to happen or something. What do you think? Because that's a big thing. That really. Is pushing the so it's kind of seeming that they really don't have to kill each other anyway, because if Voldemort and Harry both agree not to make it happen, which Dumbledore says will never happen, but if they do, does that mean that they don't have to kill each other? And what's like the powers given to Harry to vanquish Lord Voldemort? Do they only work if he wants them to? Or you know what's the deal? Because that's
well,
only
see okay like Harry has a destiny, and whenever like. When you hear this in other stories, like in history and stuff, whenever someone tries to evade their destiny, like
it ends up becoming
they're told
their
destiny. Is they end up fulfilling that same destiny.
Julius Caesar
anyways.
Is a good example.
Like they're told that this is going
well,
to happen
it's the Macbeth
to them,
thing.
And they go all out of the way to avoid it, and then it still ends up happening.
That's Macbeth again.
And the reason it ended up happening is because they knew what their destiny
Caesar.
Was, and when they're trying to avoid it, they somehow made it happen. So. It's sort of a circular logic there, but
well,
yeah, that's the whole point.
Well, but
it.
the thing is, if they did walk away, they wouldn't have to. They wouldn't have to meet each other. But Voldemort is not going to let Harry live because he is a threat. So that's going to happen. They are going to eventually meet that way. But he says, this is what I wanted. One of my favorite all time. Harry reacted exactly the way I. Was starting to react about the whole love thing when he was talking to Dumbledore. When he was like, "Yes, yes, I know,
yes.
I'm love. Yes, big
oh,
deal."
Yes.
But
absolutely.
But Dumbledore's answer made things just a bit clearer. He says that he is willing to wage this fight because he had love for people. Because his love for people has incited this righteous anger and this want for revenge. That righteous anger and that want for revenge is his protection, and it is caused by love. So it's a little twist on, oh, love will save you. But no, love has actually inspired in him the things which will make sure that he doesn't just give up to Voldemort.
You know, that's a great point, Melissa. And also, if they do both give up, how is Voldemort going to be defeated so they can't really do
it? It's that old, you know, it's not in the script.
What I thought that was confusing, though, the end of that chapter. I'm sorry, John, you can go.
Well, yeah, I mean, we're talking about the love and stuff. The easiest way to kill Voldemort, you know, Harry faces him. He's like, hey, you know, here I am. I'm Harry. And then he brings Ginny along. And just as Voldemort's about ready to curse him, Harry and Ginny start
it's
making
out. It's
such
a display of love
that
he crumbles.
And then Voldemort starts to melt because he can't witness the love.
Can you feel
and he starts to melt.
The love.
And then he, and he's
I like the theory that he'll just...
Exactly. They start
I like
playing
the theory
Disney
that he'll just
music.
Be evil I'm overlord melting. Monologuing, and Harry will just sort of sneak up behind him and kill him.
Hey, MuggleCast guys. Really enjoying your show. Particularly like the special episode with Melissa. I think she's an adorable young woman, and I think it's great that MuggleNet and Leaky have gotten together to do a show. I really like both programs, and I do agree that they both serve different audiences, different purposes. I wanted to ask you guys... MuggleNet had recently reported that Harry Potter lexicon indicated that a well-placed source has confirmed that Regulus Black's middle name was Arcturus. Now, I can't imagine for the life of me who or what would constitute a well-placed source other than Joe Rowling herself, and I wanted to hear your thoughts on that. Thanks again, and I'm really enjoying both MuggleCast and PotterCast. Thanks. Bye.
Well, first I want to say thank you to that guy for calling me an adorable young woman. That's something that I don't...
Oh, yes, she's very, very correct. We love you, Melissa.
Young. That would be Brian.
Ooh, Ben.
Ryan?
That's it, Ben. That's
Ryan,
it. I'm not
Melissa Shippers.
I'm not saying yes to your next proposal.
Proposal?
Okay, so let's talk about this.
Like you said yes to the other four.
I'm just kidding. Melissa is adorable and young.
Great. Okay, let's talk about this.
So what do you want? Do you want...
HP Lexicon.
Melissa's disqualified from this because she knows.
He's saying they
wouldn't
have posted it. They would have put. Yeah, they wouldn't have posted
it. HP Lexicon posts Regulus's middle name, the World Freaks, they take it down. What happened? Just, Melissa and Ellie.
What was it? Was it Artichoke?
It was Artichoke. No, I can't. I can't. I mean,
Arcturus.
I think it was Archovy. Anchovy.
Arcturus.
I don't know exactly, but I have a good idea, and for that reason I can't clearly I can't say, because it's a matter of respect to Steve.
Okay,
then so,
me and Ben will speculate.
But I can answer certain aspects of it, but I'll let you guys speculate first.
Is it a media source?
I can't say.
No, don't ask.
Yeah,
me.
I have no idea, but I've got good speculation. Because no one tells me anything.
Is obviously they got this from a highly placed source. Highly placed source. So, I can't hear myself when I can hear my own voice. So, I think what happened here was that they got the info from some highly placed source.
That's specific.
And they spotted it. Someone else spotted it. And they flipped because it hasn't been released by J.K. Rowling. And therefore, they made them take it back
well,
out.
Duh. Is that speculation? That's the obvious.
Well, yeah.
That was some crappy
that
speculation.
That was ridiculous. No.
Okay.
Speculation
whatever.
Is who the highly placed source is. We know it's a highly placed source. My speculation, and this again is not talking to Steve, and Melissa doesn't tell me anything because she's mean.
I know nothing.
I'm assuming that, like the lexicon has confirmed other things as far as genders and things like that, that it's through their translators. And when they have to translate the books for different countries, they have to know certain things, certain names, certain things about characters, so they can get the grammar correct and all that other stuff. So if there was ever a reason, for some reason, to know what the A stood for and the RAB is for the translating purposes, there's a chance that somehow might have got wind to them through their other contacts they used to translate the lexicon.
That's a good idea.
That's as bad as Andrew's.
Shut up.
Well, I just want to adjust what people say when they say, how could it not? How could it be anybody other than J.K. Rowling? It can very well be somebody other than J.K. Rowling. Clearly, any information that's accurate about the books ultimately comes from J.K. Rowling. But a lot of people are now involved in making sure that her books go around the world, go into different editions, go to the illustrators, go to... You know what I mean? So different people need to see different
JKR
things.
Right, J.K.R. can't do that all herself.
Right.
Right.
But when they put that up and then it just disappears like that, they just yank it off the
right off the web, then people
are pretty sure that it's true. Well,
obviously,
know?
Someone probably told them to get rid of it.
Right, so...
Because it's not JKR.
I'm just
going to
take a stab in the dark here and say that RAB is pretty much Regulus Black.
Well, no we can go back to the interview. You could see in the transcript, I think I mentioned this in the last... or I will mention it in a coming podcast that we've already taped. In the interview with Joe, and this is not like talking about it, it's in the transcript, there's a point in which we said something about RAB, and I, without even noticing that I was doing it, answered as if we were talking about Regulus, and she didn't correct me, she didn't pause, she didn't think about anybody else, we just were going on talking about Regulus, and yeah. I took that as pretty much, pretty much confirmation. Only because she's very fair about that, and she would say, I didn't quite tell you it was Regulus, so let's back up.
Hi, MuggleCast. This is Gianluca from Switzerland, and I've read Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince, in English, 5 times in a row due to the obsession. I've thoroughly enjoyed the entire book, but I was rather surprised while I was reading the part with Dumbledore's death. How come Dumbledore dies so easily with what seemed like no trouble? With such powerful magical powers, shouldn't he be prepared for at least a killing curse? Thanks.
Well, I think that we've talked
about
this.
We have talked
about
this, and I think one of the
and we've came to the conclusion that, well, I think majority of us have, that this may not be true. Once again, as one of our 13 Muggle Cast commandments or whatever they are, this may just be speculation. It's that Dumbledore knew he was going to die, so he didn't really try to defend himself. That's my theory. And then he knew that Snape's position in the Order of the Phoenix was too crucial to compromise.
Even,
what are your thoughts?
Even for himself. And also one of the things that Jamie said, I believe it was episode 3, was that maybe perhaps that what blasted him backward was the huge expulsion of Dumbledore's power. so that even though he seemed to have died easy, that whole thing that pushed him over the edge was his power, which was a nice way of showing
it. Yeah, when I heard him say that, I remember thinking that was a really, really nice, nice theory.
Yeah, Jamie has that kind of touch on things. Mm-hmm. Really nice.
I also, Steve Van Der Ark made a great point in our latest podcast where somebody asked him about this, and he said that the reason that he thinks that Snape is Dumbledore's man is because right before that scene, Dumbledore is weak, and he looks at Harry and says, "I'm not worried, I'm with you." So clearly, he's depending on Harry. Why do you freeze Harry then? He's not trying to protect him then. He's trying to stop him from interfering, because he knows basically what's going to go down.
Exactly. Took the words right out of my mouth.
Here's my question, though. The task that Draco was supposed to do, I don't think... I keep saying I'm the only one with these theories. But the thing he was supposed to do couldn't have been to kill Dumbledore. Because no one in their right mind would have assumed that Draco could pull that off. They weren't assuming that Dumbledore was going to go out on this Horcrux mission. And
you insist on
weaken himself like that.
I know.
Yes. Yes. Now hold on. No, they didn't assume on any of that. They, for all they knew, Dumbledore could be just as powerful as he always is. So why the hell would they put Draco on this ridiculous quest to kill Dumbledore? I think the quest was just to get the Death Eaters into the castle. That's a reasonable quest, and that's also a reasonable that Snape could help happen too. That's why Snape says, if Draco screws it up, I'll help get the Death Eaters in the castle.
Right, but doesn't make sense that that it was the killing of Dumbledore, because Draco can't do it there at
the
end, so Snape steps right in.
That's the whole point. They thought that Voldemort was ticked off at Lucius, so he sent his son to die, and that he wasn't supposed to kill.
Or what if?
And also the whole thing about the Death Eaters in the castle—that was Draco's own improv or something, because he found the way to make it happen with the Vanishing Cabinet. He did that. Snape knew nothing about
it. What if Voldemort meant for Snape to do it in the end because he sort of knew that this was happening. He knew there would be an unbreakable vow. He knew that Snape would have to protect him. What if it was Voldemort's last test of Snape's loyalty?
Are we under the impression that
Voldemort was aware of the unbreakable vow happening in Snape's house?
Maybe he just knew that he would try to protect Draco.
And you've all heard the reverse unbreakable vow theory, haven't you? Like that Dumbledore put Snape under the unbreakable vow.
Yeah, I thought that immediately.
To kill him.
The only thing I can't figure out is who would have bound that unbreakable vow.
John, you're the only one to think
of these
theories,
good...
you know. Everyone steals
them
from
you. Who bound
the
unbreakable vow? I mean, I fully believe that they did have one. Whether the vow was to...
But you know what? No, I don't think they did. Because I think Dumbledore doesn't want to rely on magic to trust a person. I think that's devaluing somebody's trust. Saying, I don't trust you fully, so don't
you know,
do
that's
a vow
a really nice...
That you can't do.
That's
You'll
a really nice personality observation.
Right, but he put Snape in a pretty bad position, though. So I understand, Snape, you know, it's the moment of truth. If he knows if he doesn't do it, he's going to die, then he might be a little more apt to do it.
I don't know if Snape cares that much about his life. I think he cared that Draco was going to die if he didn't do it.
Yeah. Oh, that's what he was arguing about, I'm sure, with Dumbledore. When they had that argument that Hagrid overheard, is that I think that he's stuck between two unbreakable vows, and that he just says, no, he's trying to argue to Dumbledore that, Snape's saying, I should die. You need to stay, Dumbledore. You're going to still be around to help. And Dumbledore's like, no, you know, that's crap. We need you around because you're a more benefit to the Order as a spy.
Now he's on Voldemort's right hand, you know, for this whole thing.
Yeah,
he killed the
totally
only one he ever feared.
That.
I mean, come on, that's got to be.
Yeah.
Brilliant. So if Snape is worth anything that Dumbledore thought he was, I think he'll make come around and.
I just can't get.
Andrew.
I just can't get over that his parting shot to Harry is teaching him. He's teaching him still as he's fleeing the grounds as Harry's trying to kill him. He's still teaching him. He's trying to get him to
he's
block
He's trying
his
to get him to block it.
Yeah, and you know what else? I forget. What did Snape tell everybody about Harry as they were leaving?
Leave him for the
did
Dark Lord.
Did he say, no, he's Voldemort's?
He's a Dark Lord.
Yeah,
a Dark
so,
Lord's
okay.
So here he is at his most defenseless, no Dumbledore. If Snape was really the bad guy, why wouldn't he be like, hey, I got two birds with one stone here. I'm just going to take Harry with me and take him back to Voldemort.
Now, one of the things I'm a firm believer that Snape does have an unbreakable vow with Dumbledore and stuff and all that crap, but also Snape couldn't have killed Harry there because according to like the prophecy and stuff, even if he tried, would it have worked? Because, you know, one's supposed to kill the other, so if Snape went and, you know, went against Harry, would he just have another scar or what? Would it have worked?
I don't know.
Right. I definitely think Snape is a good guy, but that's the question is, would it have worked anyway? If anybody else tried to kill him, but Voldemort.
I just think it's just not gonna work out that way. It's the Macbeth thing again. The characters just, they make it happen that way. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's very confusing.
I don't know what the answer is. I really don't.
So I think this wraps up episode 7 of MuggleCast. I'd like to thank Melissa and John for joining us from Leaky Cauldron. Maybe sometime they'll return the favor and have some of us on
their
podcast. I think
we definitely want to.
That'll be plenty fun.
Okay. Yeah, so...
Yeah, Horcree
and Horcrusai.
If you guys want to
chat John about calling it the Horcree, go ahead and email him. I'm all for that.
What's the email, John? John.
At theleakycauldron.org?
Oh, yeah, that one.
John at theleakycauldron.org.
Yeah, but people, when you say it like that, people don't do the dash.
John at the leaky dash.
Hey, if you people don't know the proper address to Leaky Cauldron, then I don't want to hear from you.
Google it.
Oh.
Google the word leaky. You'll get it.
Yeah.
Okay, so... Yeah, that's pretty much it, guys. If you have any questions or suggestions, please visit MuggleCast.com or MuggleNet.com/MuggleCast, where you can view all of our contact information, send us a feedback email from the form we have there, something Pottercast doesn't have.
Something Pottercast doesn't
have. I have one last thing.
Yeah.
I just remembered. Someone drew us some fan art. Remember how I said in episode 7-6 that... how we all gather around my desk.
Yes.
And
well, we do. We're right there
podcast,
now.
Like we are right now.
Yeah.
Ben, I mean, Eric, you have such nice hair today.
Hey.
What? Why, thank
we
you.
Just, we anyway. Got one as well, by the way. We just got a fan art. It's really cute.
Wait.
Yeah, they have me hiding behind a monitor with the HBP for dummies on top of the monitor.
HBP for dummies.
Okay.
So anyway, wait, I'm not done yet. Oh,
sorry. Andrew, okay, go.
Okay. So.
You're killing me.
So this person... This person drew a picture of all six of us, or five of us.
That's so cool.
Huddled around my desk.
That's awesome.
And you're telling me I have nice hair?
Yeah, because you're sitting right next to
That's
me.
That's so
right
cool.
I just punched you. Yeah, it hurt, didn't it?
Ow.
Yeah.
Okay, are you going to say that?
Enough with you both.
All right, are you going to say, like,
okay, so
you're going to call
like
yourself
said,
everybody's
once
favorite
Okay,
cancer
Eric,
again.
That's enough.
Wait,
guys,
Ben,
guys,
Ben.
Guys, no.
Guys,
no. Okay. I'm talking to you, Ben.
Okay, so
Ben,
if
Ben,
you go
Ben,
to...
Ben,
if you
Ben,
visit
Ben, Ben.
Eric, stop.
Remember what I said about live to tape? Okay.
Hey, you're just
well. Now that we've established
right?
that, we all remember.
Well,
okay. This is Andrew. This is nearly as bad as past episodes, so don't even.
Computer. Please locate all Horcrux.
Term not found.
But John Noe said it.